We're deeply thankful to be able to have the privilege and the opportunity by the mercy of God to be able to broadcast the good gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for looking us up and for sharing with us in this time of the revelation of God's word strictly by His Holy Spirit, for we can do nothing without Him. We ask you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We were in Matthew chapter 11 last time, and we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16 this time, but we'll be going back and referring to Matthew chapter 11 later on, Lord willing. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to be reading beginning with verse 13, but our lesson title comes from verse number 15. But whom say ye? That's the name of our lesson. But whom say ye? We'll get down to that as we start reading in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, let me get my watch set so I won't go over. Yeah, like that's going to stop me, but anyhow, we try. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What a question. Now, he was not trying to flatter himself or get flattering answers or just to turn the conversation towards himself. Everybody likes to talk about themselves. That wasn't what he was doing. Why is this important? Hold on. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Dear soul, the Bible said Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, listen, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He was giving them an opportunity to confess with their mouth unto salvation. He was not going to be able to have them understand and know what was in their heart until their mouth spoke it. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to his Father. John chapter 17, beginning with verse number 3. And this is life eternal. Now, do you want to know what God himself defines life eternal as? I do. I appreciate, you know, the commentaries. I appreciate the church boys. I appreciate the preaching down through the ages. But let me hear what God says is the definition of eternal life. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So we see that knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and being able to confess him, who do the men say that I, the Son of Man, am, is the opportunity to confess with the mouth unto salvation. This is very important. Let's take time, if you don't mind, to read two verses in the book of Acts that shows the apostles preaching this. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. What portion of the Scriptures did he reason with them from? Verse number 3, Acts 17:3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, listen, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. That's the gospel message. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can't do that except you are born of God. It takes a birth from the Spirit. Acts chapter 18, turn over one page, Acts chapter 18 and verse number 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. That's their gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus of Bethlehem, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Calvary, is very God, you don't get that except it comes by the Holy Spirit. Now, you can give it lip service. Yeah, I believe that Jesus was God, the Son. But, dear soul, confessing it with your mouth from your heart that has believed unto righteousness takes the Holy Spirit. All right, let's go back to where we was and start again in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He didn't claim his deity right there. He claimed that he was just a human being. I'm the Son of Man. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Now that's weird. That somehow or another the spirit of John the Baptist has come and entered into you. Some say Elias, and we'll deal with that again later, back in Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 deals with the revelation of three different distinct persons. Who is John the Baptist? What went you out to see? Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? And who is Elijah? Those three persons are brought out in that chapter. It's a very special and blessed chapter that needs to be further studied. And some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So, this old, that's kind of like the religious world. They don't really know who Jesus is. They don't really know how to define the being and the essence of God as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. It's a great mystery. It's only clearly done and believed on and stated by the Holy Spirit in the heart of the regenerate. And he said in verse number 15, now, okay, that's whom men say that I am, but let's get it down to where the rubber hits the road. He saith unto them, but whom say ye, that's the title of our lesson, but whom say ye that I am? Dear soul, that question asked to me, that question asked to you, that question asked to every son of Adam will determine, the answer will determine where you spend eternity. The devil believes that Jesus Christ is God the Son, but not in a redemptive way. He wants to destroy everything that he can concerning this. Jesus said, but whom say ye that I am? Now, the answer to that question in verse number 13, whom do men say that I am? The answer came from inordinate affection. What's an inordinate affection? An affection that goes beyond the limit. It's too gooey, too gushy, too mysterious, too, you know, sensationalistic. And it comes from, you know, the spirit of the flesh and coupled with religion and the powers of demons. But now, whom say ye that I am? Now, where are you going to get the answer? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said unto them, verse 15, all of the disciples, Peter answers for them, and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. according to 1 John 5:1 that we read you twice already. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you're born of God. Does that ring true here? Listen to the next verse. And Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Peter, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. What does Bar-Jonah mean? It means son of Jonah. Blessed art thou, son of Jonah. I've introduced myself as the Son of Man. I know you are the son of Jonah, but there's something more going on as far as who I am as the Son of Man, and I want you to know there's something more going on in you than just being Peter, the son of Jonah. His dad's name was Jonah. Listen, in verse number 17 of Matthew chapter 16, why does Jesus say that Peter is blessed for saying that? For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Number one, that did not come from reasoning and logic and from the titillation of emotions from the flesh. Number two, it had a supernatural origin. And number three, the supernatural origin was God the Father. Hold your place. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. I believe it's verse 14 that we want. Matthew chapter 11. No, it's not. I hate to start in the middle of this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, after they had discussed who John the Baptist was, who Elijah was, now they come to discuss and to reveal who Jesus is. And Jesus is delighted to say to his Father, I thank thee, O Father. I'm reading Matthew 11 and verse number 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid. You need to get that. How come you were in religion so long and you didn't know who Jesus was like you do now that you've been born again? God had hidden it from you. Listen, how come other people can't understand and see it? You say it's the simplest thing in the world, and it is life-engaging, and it's life-changing, and it brings with it the revelation of God to the Spirit, and it brings invigorating, regenerating grace, and it causes me to be born again. Why can't they see it? I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, number one, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. It didn't come from the mind. Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. It is hidden from you. As far as the flesh is concerned, it is hidden from you as far as the wisdom of man is concerned. He says, I thank thee, number one, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and number two, I thank you that you have revealed them unto babes. Now he's contrasting, quote, the wise and prudent to babes. How do you get to be a babes? The only way babes are produced is if they are born. What is he saying? It did not come from education. It came from revelation. And it was the revelation of the Holy Spirit sent from God. And I thank you that there was darkness upon the face of the deep so that there could be some contrast when God said, Let there be light. So we need the contrast to highlight and to make sure we understand that if you know that Jesus is the Son of God, that ain't no small thing. If you believe in that, if you believe that in your heart unto righteousness, you need to confess it with your mouth unto salvation. We had a young man that was raised up in this church. His family had been members of this church all of his life. And from an infant, he had been raised up. And he was a fine young man, quiet young man, obedient to his parents, loved the Lord, and had just a good attitude about him. But he never had said anything about it. And one day, the Lord gave me an emphasis on preaching on that confession is made unto salvation. I didn't know why I was preaching that. I just was glad that the Lord showed me what to preach. Dear soul, I don't want to get up here and just give you some exposition of denominational doctrine. I want a message from the Lord. I don't want a sermon. I want God to give me a message. So God gave me a message that day, and I preached on it, not knowing what I was doing. That young man came to me later, and he said, I've been, and this is not his words, this is me trying to interpret it and tell you the account. He said, I've been a silent believer for all these years. And he said, I see by that message that I need to confess to this church publicly that I believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he's my Lord and Savior. And I said, well, then you need to come down before the church and stand here and say that. And he did. And by the mercy of God, we were able to baptize him. And dear soul, I baptized a lot of people that all they did was get wet. They went down dry sinners and came up wet sinners. But this was one that I knew and felt very strongly in my heart with great peace that this young man was truly born again, that God got a hold of him before the Baptist did. God got a hold of him before the baptism waters were necessary. And I thank the Lord that we baptized that young man, and he's gone on to live with the Lord and raise his own family, got married and got out on his own and raised his own family. But he had one thing that it was needful, and he realized it. Confession is made, listen, unto salvation. God will give you opportunity to say, who do men say that I am? Well, I got a fella at work, or, you know, there's a lady down the street, she believes. No. All right, we understand that. Who do they say that I am? But let me ask you this. Who do you say that I am? Can you confess with your mouth that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is very God and that he is not only a Son of God, but he is God the Son? He is Creator, Sovereign, Holy God, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of my world. He is the one that stands in the presence of Almighty glory on my behalf. Yes, I can say that. Then you didn't get that from flesh and blood. You didn't get that from going to church. You didn't get that from Sunday school. You didn't get that from memorizing the Bible. You didn't get that from hearing preaching. You got that from the revelation of God Almighty. Let me read on down. In Matthew chapter 11. I thank thee for two things. You hid these from the wise and prudent, revealed them unto babes. Verse 26 of Matthew chapter 11. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. God likes it that way. Then we have to like it that way. Dear soul, my family was tickled because I went down to an altar in the First Baptist Church in Eufaula, Alabama, and I got wet. I was a lost sinner, dry, got in the baptism waters. I was a lost sinner, wet. But everybody was happy about it. He got saved. No, I didn't. I got wet. 7 years later, after we have moved to Southwest Atlanta, Georgia, in the little old Southern Baptist Church, God revealed to me that I was a hypocrite and that I was lost, that being a church member did not save me. So the Holy Ghost revealed to me who God was, and I came forth and confessed him before men. Some people didn't like it because they automatically assumed that because I was a member of the church in good standing. So just because you're a member of a good church don't mean you're Christian. And because I was president of my Sunday school class, and because they wasn't afraid for me to be around their daughter. We had a good, rich youth fellowship there, a lot of young people, and at that time, that we were not out into the ungodliness of the world as yet. It was a good place to be. But I had to tell them, I didn't know God from third base. God had hid it from me. Baptism didn't reveal it to me. Getting my little New Testament that they gave me and my certificate of baptism, that didn't give it unto me. Putting down on the missionary, the Baptist missionary's report, whatever that is, that we had this many baptized in our church in this quarter, and sending on up to Nashville and recorded it, that didn't do any good. I still lost and without God and without hope in the world. And God saved me. And he says, I thank you that you hid it, and I thank you that you revealed it, because it seemed good in thy sight. Now, here's what I'm trying to get to. You was wondering that, wasn't you? Matthew 11, verse 27. You need to listen to this verse with your heart. This is Jesus Christ speaking to his Father. If you're ever going to hear absolute, undiluted, undeniable, glorious spiritual truth, it's God the Son talking to God the Father. Here it is. Matthew 11, 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. You say, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then you must be born again. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ except God the Father revealed him to you. Because no man, no flesh, no blood, no preacher, no organization, no denominationalism, no practice of traditional religion can reveal this to you. It has to come from God the Father, because no man knoweth the Son except God the Father. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Now listen. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Thank God for the rest of that verse. So we understand and see, Jesus Christ is exclusively, solely, completely, undeniably known only by God the Father. Nobody can know God the Son except God the Father. Got it? Yep. Well, no man can know God the Father except God the Son. You say, well, that leaves me out, comma. He's not through talking yet, thank the Lord. Save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It comes by revelation, not by education. It doesn't come by inspiration. It comes by revelation. It comes immediately to the heart of those that God has chosen to reveal himself to. Jesus said, I thank you that you hid these things from the wise and prudent, but I thank you that you've been pleased to reveal these things to babes, those who have been born again. How did they become born again? By God manifesting them to them who Jesus the Son is. Again, 1 John 5:1. If you know God the Son, it is because whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How do you get born of God? The Holy Spirit reveals to you by the will of the Son who God the Father is. And God the Father reveals to you who God the Son is. And so if you know and believe that Jesus of Nazareth, that human being, is very God, and he is your Lord and Savior, and there's no other name that you trust in, and you're not trusting in your works, you're not trusting in doing good or being better or being baptized or giving your tithes or trying not to cuss or trying to live right, or being faithful to your wife and kids, or being faithful to your husband and kids, whatever. whatever your works, and not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Salvation is exclusively, 100% entirely, a manifestation of God's mercy. You have salvation because God was pleased to give it to you, and Jesus was delighted that he did. I thank you that you have revealed this unto babes. How do they become babes? They were given the belief that Jesus is the Christ. Whom say ye that I am? Good question. Why did he ask that? Because even though that the heart can believe unto righteousness, like that young man in our congregation was doing all those years, and we didn't even know it. We thought he was just a good moralist and that he was as yet unsaved. But he was sitting there knowing that he believed in God and that God had saved him, but dear soul, it wasn't finished yet. Okay, whom do men say that I am? Write a book. Give a testimony. Become a historian and tell everybody how these people believed in God. But wait a minute. Next question. Whom say ye that I am? That young man had to understand and know that he couldn't sit there and quietly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that his salvation was not yet full and complete according to the dictates of the Holy Spirit. For with the mouth, confession is made, watch it, unto salvation. Isn't that amazing? Confession is made unto salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ was giving these people opportunity to come to the full and complete salvation that finished it out from God the Father by God the Holy Spirit to reveal God the Son to them. And now that they believe, they were able to turn and give glory to God by speaking and saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, and that he is my Lord and Savior, and in him I am trusting solely and completely alone, and that he will not fail me. I know whom I have believed, not what. Well, I've been a Baptist. There's a lot of Baptists in hell, friend. There's a lot of denominational adherents in hell. I don't care how good and squeaky clean you've been as a religionist of whatever flavor. You're not saved. You don't know God, and you're going to wind up in hell if you don't watch out. You need to come and confess that Jesus is the very Christ, that he is alone the Son of God, and that Jesus of Nazareth, not just some hippie with sandals and a beard and all that stuff, and, you know, we see him here in this church. Oh, isn't this a glorious church? It really ain't a church. It's just a building and a museum for a dead man. Got a dead, naked man hanging up there with blood coming out of his head and his hands and his feet and his side. And you say, oh, that's very moving. No, it ain't. Not in a way of salvation. It may be very moving as far as inordinate affection is concerned, but you're not saved by inordinate affection. You're not saved by ooey-gooey feelings. You're saved by the revelation of God to your soul by the Holy Spirit and your confession that you believe that Jesus is very God. Whom say ye that I am? You're going to have to answer that question. You need to answer that question. Understand who men say that he is, but who do you say? That's our lesson title, but whom say ye? In Matthew chapter 11, while we're still here, listen at the next few verses. After he says, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he the person to whom I will reveal him to. Jesus Christ has to bring you to the Father. John 14:6, I hope. John says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, not some way, not any way, not a way, but I am the way, the only way. It's a narrow way. It's a straight gate and a narrow way. Few there be that go in thereat. Don't you want to be one of the few? Confess that Jesus Christ is very God unto salvation. But whom say ye? Jesus didn't stop when he asked him, who do men say? Well, you've been telling everybody, well, this guy, you know, he thinks that Buddha is God. This man, he thinks that this, that, and the other is God. This man, he has to go to Mary to get her to hand up a prayer to Peter so Peter can hand it up to Jesus. No. Listen. Go immediately to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto the Father by me. I am the way. You don't have to go to the Pope. You don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to go to a preacher. You go by the Holy Spirit to Christ himself, and you confess that he is very God, and it is only because he hath revealed the Father to you. It comes by revelation, not by inspiration, not by education. Yes, I think we need to educate everybody. I appreciate Brother Mike and his lessons in the Sunday school that we have recorded here every week. But dear soul, adhering and saying amen to either my messages or to his lessons, that's not salvation. Thank God we have it. We can instruct. We can bring on to a further and more complete knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But dear soul, let's accept it is done. By the Holy Spirit, it is not done at all. Jesus continues. Then he says, come unto me. I can reveal the Father. I'm the only one that can reveal the Father to you. So come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What are you laboring and heavy laden about? Trying to find God. Well, I went to the Catholic Church. I couldn't find God. I went to the Methodist Church. Couldn't find God. I went to the Baptist Church. Pentecost, I went to this. Come to Christ. Jesus ended it all. I'm the one that reveals God the Father unto you, so come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I personally will give you individually rest. What are you seeking? Rest from the confusion of trying to know God and find peace with God. I'll give you that. What kind of rest is it? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Yes, it includes a work. For by grace are we saved through faith and not of yourselves, not by works of righteousness. I'm going to mess it up. Let me get to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You would think as many times as I have quoted that, I could say it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Yes. In verse 9 of Ephesians 2, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The good works of the Christian is like the tail of the dog. T-A-I-L, the tail, the waggly, wiggly thing on the end of the dog. It always follows the dog. It doesn't precede it. The tail's not on his nose. The dog always precedes the work. Let me get it straight. Always. Dear soul, you don't work in order to be saved, but you definitely will do those works that God hath ordained to reveal that you have been saved. For now you are a good tree and you can't produce anything but good fruit. You can't produce anything but good work. And this verse is very interesting in Ephesians 2:10. He says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What is it that God hath before ordained? Good works. You mean that there is a specific and an absolute and a very clear and an interpreting manifestation of my salvation in those works? Yes. And that God has ordained them, the works, that reveal that I'm saved? Yes, as much as he has ordained and has chosen you in Ephesians 1:4. He says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. What do? We believe in what Jesus has done. Mount Sinai scares you and says, thou shalt. And you say, but I can't. I'm a sinner. Mount Sinai said, thou shalt not. You say, but I did. I committed those sins. What shall I do? Then the Holy Spirit takes you from Mount Sinai and shows you your sinfulness and directs your attention and focus to Mount Calvary. Mount Sinai said, you can't do it. But Mount Calvary, Jesus said, I did it. And I did it on your behalf. You want to get in on it? You say, oh yes, let me in on it. Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Who do you say the Son of God is? I don't want to know who your granny said Jesus was. We all know she was a godly woman, and we were all at her funeral, and we all experienced some degree of her life. We know how much you loved your granny. But your granny can't save you. She didn't save herself. It's not who did your grandparents say was the Son of God, that Jesus Christ was. It's not who does your parents say, if you had godly parents, who did they say the Son of God was? Dear soul, it comes on down where the rubber hits the road. Is who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? And listen, this is important. That young man sat there all those years, and he was comfortable in not, and he was very shy, and I understood why he had not confessed it. It wasn't that he was denying the Lord. It's that he was just so shy, he didn't want to get up in front of people, period. One of the things in school that we hate is having to get up and give an oral book report in front of the class. Didn't like to stand in front of people and talk. Understood that. But dear soul, God wouldn't let him get away with that. And what I want you to understand is this. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Whoa, wait a minute. There's not going to be another opportunity if I stand in the presence of eternal God. And I stand after time is no more, and I'm standing there with my body in the grave and my spirit standing in the presence of eternal glory. And Jesus said, I don't know him. You say, Lord, we did many wonderful works in thy name. Jesus said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Why is he saying that? Because you didn't confess him before men, for whatever reason. He wasn't shy about confessing you. He wasn't shy about providing for you all that you needed to have a full and complete salvation. Dear soul, they stripped him of everything, even stepping down from his glory in heaven to become Son of Man and be born of a virgin. The Bible said, though he were rich, yet he became poor. We've been looking for weeks at what the Brits do about burying a royalty. And one of the tidbits of information that we found, and man, have we not been inundated with all kinds of stuff about royalty that we didn't know, because we Americans don't have that kind of stuff, was that her personal worth was in the hundreds of millions of dollars. That was in her own personal, if you will, checking account. Hundreds of millions of dollars. And dear soul, it was amazing, the glories of that monarchy. And dear soul, listen, the Lord Jesus Christ, he stripped himself of all of his worth. Though he were rich, yet he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich in faith, rich in grace, that he might say to you, this day shall thy soul be with me in paradise. You're hanging with me on the cross, on your cross, and dear soul, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No! There's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And so, you hung on your cross and you rebuked the other thief and said, don't speak ill of this man. He hath done nothing amiss like we have. This is the very Son of God. And Jesus said, this day shall thy soul be with me in paradise. Do you want the Lord Jesus, who has stripped himself of more than the millions that the queen now does not have because she's dead? He stripped himself of his rights in eternal glory, that angels bowed and worshiped him and came to be spat upon. Can you imagine having somebody stab a spear into your side? You have a fit if you have a pin prick your finger. You don't like it if a thorn scrapes your leg if you walk in the woods. Dear soul, though he were rich, yet he became poor, that he by his poverty might make us rich. And you don't want to acknowledge him? Whom say ye that I am? You deny me before men. Okay. Judge not that you be not judged, but because with what judgment ye judge, it shall be measured out to you. What? You are right now measuring out on your ruler the same degree of ruler that you want God to measure back to you. So, you denied him, I'll deny you before my Father and the holy angels. Now, whom say ye that I, the Son of Man, am? Dear soul, God's not fooling. This is not just some, you know, religious denominational quirk. It's not just some religious itch that you need to scratch. This is Almighty God. And he said, and I still can't get it into my little knucklehead, how did God the Father speak from heaven? Because Jesus Christ, the eternal Son, is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and he is the Word. But God the Father did speak, and they heard him. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. And you're going to stand there and say, I ain't going to hear him. I'm good as anybody else. And you're going to expect God to honor you before God when you would not honor him before men? Whom say men that I am? Okay, here's what they say. All right, that's good. Y'all told me exactly what's happened. Now, let's get it down to where the rubber hits the road. Whom say ye that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Peter. You are the son of Jonah. You are a product of the flesh. You are a human being, but you didn't get this from your daddy. You got this from my Father. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. In that 11th chapter of John, in that 11th chapter of Matthew, there's a difference between how John the Baptist had Jesus revealed to him and in the way that we have just read that the Apostle Peter had Jesus revealed to him. Jesus said, Simon Peter, your Father in flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. God revealed it to you by the Spirit. But in that 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Jesus, he sent two of his disciples. And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Why did John the Baptist, greatest man at that time, born of a woman, doubt the Lord Jesus? Because it was revealed to him who God the Son was by works. But Jesus said in this same chapter, Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. How can Peter have the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to him and he never doubts that? John doubts that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus returns him to his work. In verse 4 of Matthew 11, Jesus answered and said unto those two disciples, Go and show John again. Those that came to know Jesus by works had to continuously see those works to fortify their belief that he was the very Christ. Go and show John again those things which ye do see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whomsoever shall not be offended in me. And they departed to go back to tell John the works that they saw that made them know again that Jesus was the Christ. But failing to see those works again and again and again, you could doubt that he was the Son of God. But Peter never doubted that Jesus was God the Son. Now, he did deny him, but he never doubted him. There's a lot of difference. And that shows you that John, though at that time, before the Holy Spirit was sent to be to make a revelation of who Jesus Christ was, that John the Baptist was the greatest man born of woman, but soon as the Holy Spirit came and those that were least in the kingdom, and the Apostle Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles, you begin to see the humility because the Holy Spirit has revealed people to themselves as he reveals Christ to them. So the Apostle Peter, he does deny the Lord, but he never doubts who he is. He denied him as the Lord. That's why he denied him, because he didn't want to be involved in being thrown in jail and being martyred himself. But it was because he knew who Jesus was. There's a difference, dear soul, in seeing the signs, those things that you see and hear. And our time's almost gone, but dear soul, maybe when we come back, we can take you to John chapter 2 and show you that it, John chapter 2 ends out and John chapter 3 comes on, that it was not by the working of miracles that Jesus would receive Nicodemus. Now he was going to have to be born again and have the revelation of God come to him that he has known and believed and understood without any doubt that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. He is the very God the Son. Dear soul, why is that important? Because you can't just keep on going along and saying, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But look at the miracles that he did. You're not going to be received on that, dear soul. You need to come to the receiving of the revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to you as who he is, you will have the works of righteousness in your heart but then you will have the confession of faith made unto salvation in your mouth. Whom say men? Whom do men say that I am? Well, they say this. All right, but who do you say that I am? You're going to have to answer that question. All of us believers have had to answer that question. Who do you say that I am? And dear soul, confession is made unto salvation. And it doesn't matter whether there have been some that have made a false confession and just said it because they wanted to please their granny or their mama, or get baptized so that their mama quit fussing at them about it, and they wanted to join the church so that just in case there was a hell, you know, they're going to hedge their bet and say, well, then I'll just get baptized anyhow. No. In your heart of hearts, have you believed unto righteousness? Well, then in your mouth of mouths, you will confess him unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 10. Our time is gone. I thank the Lord for this opportunity that we had to look at these things and hopefully to have the Holy Spirit open up our hearts and minds as he has opened up the scriptures to us, that we might see more of the fullness of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you.